This is Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. Cross Hope is broadcast daily and shares 5 minutes of hope and encouragement from the Word of God. Our companion website is www.crosshope.org. Now, with today's uplifting message, here's Randy.
Well, the word is blueprint. Blueprint. Maybe you've had blueprints that you looked at when you built a house or you moved into an apartment or a condominium. Blueprints are important in our lives, and the book of 1 Timothy is what I call a blueprint for life and the church. It's written by the Apostle Paul to a young minister named Timothy. It's the series we begin this week on Cross Hope. God bless you as you listen to part one, Blueprint for Love. Well, an American was visiting Japan, and he met a well-known Japanese Christian. When he found out the city the man was from in Japan, he remembered that years earlier he had known an American missionary from that same town. So just taking a chance, just a long shot, he said, "Have you heard of a missionary by the name of Logan?" The man's face lit up and he said, "Do I remember a man named Logan?" It was Mr. Logan who taught me the blueprint for love. What a statement. I've never heard anyone use that phrase. He taught me the blueprint for love. Nor does he go in to explain what he meant by the blueprint for love. But it said something to me. It spoke volumes to me that Mr. Logan lived his life in such a way that this Japanese believer could say, "That is my blueprint for love." Question: what blueprint do you have for your children to follow? You know, a lot of people leave a blueprint of hostility. I had a man tell me years ago that all he remembers from his childhood is hearing who his mom and dad resented, who his mom and dad hated, who his mom and dad said they owe us money, who his mom and dad said they cheated us, and everything was negative about what his mom and dad said about people, and that was his blueprint for life. Isn't that sad? I realize that every person in this room has a blueprint that you grew up with, and today we're going to talk about the blueprint for love out of the book of 1 Timothy. The whole book is a blueprint for the church, and we'll talk about it each week as we go through this series, but today he gives the blueprint for love. And I'm going to share some things with you about love that my guess is some of you have never heard before. You never knew that the foundation for love in a home, in a marriage, in a family comes out of three things that Paul mentions today. I want you to look for it as we read it. The first five verses of the book of 1 Timothy, Paul is the writer, the apostle, to a young man, a young minister named Timothy. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the command of God, our Savior, and of Christ Jesus, our hope. To Timothy, my true son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus, our Lord. As I urged you when I went into Macedonia, stay there in Ephesus, the city of Ephesus, so that you may command certain men not to teach false doctrines any longer, nor to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies. These promote controversies rather than God's work, which is by faith. What was going on? People who would rather argue with other people than share the gospel. Don't raise your hand, but some of you grew up in a church background where people loved to argue doctrine. They just didn't want to share with anybody. They'd rather fight about what the Bible says or doesn't say rather than share the good news with another person. And that's sad. That's pathetic. Absolutely pathetic. Now, the blueprint for love is in verse 5. The goal of this command that he just gave is love, which comes from three things. Love comes from a pure heart. Love comes from a good conscience, and love comes from a sincere faith. Three things that are the blueprint for love. Well, a new message this week, a new series from the book of 1 Timothy called Blueprint. It continues tomorrow on Cross Hope. Our website, of course, is crosshope.org. I don't know if you've ever worked in building a new house or you've been involved in the building of a building, and you remember that time when the first time perhaps you rolled out the drawings on a kitchen table or on a dining room table or on a counter, and you looked with your eyes on those blueprints. And the blueprints determine what the building is going to look like. The blueprints determine what the dimensions are, the height of the ceilings, the width of the room, what kind of material goes into that house or that structure. And today, Paul just unrolls a three-point outline of the blueprint for love, and we're going to talk about that. First, I want to identify Paul in verse 1 as an apostle of Christ Jesus by the command of God our Savior and of Christ Jesus our hope. The word apostle means one whom is sent. God sent Paul as an apostle through Christ, and so it was a specific task. And he says, I'm under the command, I'm under orders from the Lord himself. A command of God our Savior and Christ Jesus our hope. I want to talk about that phrase just for a minute, Jesus being our hope. Let me tell you why. Most people that have any background in Christianity at all have some semblance of belief that when I die, when you die, you know, the Lord's going to take us to heaven. And that's based on scriptural truth. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, that's where you will be also. I share that every funeral. I share it Monday at a funeral and Wednesday at a funeral for relatives of Crossview people, Monday and Wednesday. Here's my thought about this. Why would you trust God for your eternity and say, I know God's going to take me to heaven? And I trust him with eternity, I trust him with forever, and then turn around and say, but you know, I don't think God could provide for my income. I don't think God can provide for our needs with the new house. I don't know if God could provide with our situation income-wise, with the economy the way it is. And isn't it amazing? We'll trust God with something like forever and eternity and heaven and say, but I don't know if he can do. If he can do anything about my financial situation now. All I'm asking you to do is to think about how ironic that is. Why would I trust God with forever and then turn around and say, but I don't trust him with now. I don't trust him with today and tomorrow and next week. What's it mean in verse 2? To Timothy, my true son in the faith. Paul was never married. Didn't have any children, but he looked at Timothy as his son in the faith. I want to share this with you. I don't care your age. You can be a 30-year-old and have a son or daughter in the faith who's older than you. It means you pour your life into a person. You can be 25 and pour your life into a 35 or 40-year-old spiritually, meaning that they're growing because of your relationship with them and your spiritual input. And I think we all have spiritual children, get this, that we don't even know about. You know, I think in heaven, this is one of my theories about heaven, and I can't prove it to you, but I think you're going to have people come up to you and say, you know what I noticed about you? I watched how you treated your wife. Noticed how you treated your husband. I noticed the level of love and concern and respect. I saw how you treated your children. I saw how you related to your parents, and people are going to surprise us in heaven by observational things they say to us about what we did, and we may be shocked. We may be shocked by that. Do you have a son or daughter in the faith? Not in the sense that you have authority over them. It has nothing to do with authority. It has everything to do with your witness.
Well, we're in the first five verses of the book of 1 Timothy, a new series called Blueprint. It continues tomorrow on CrossHope. Our website is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org.
Do you have a son or daughter in the faith? Not in the sense that you have authority over them. It has nothing to do with authority. It has everything to do with your witness. That you have poured a little bit of your life into another person who may be younger as a believer. You see, a 25-year-old who's been a Christian all his life, it can be a father to a 50-year-old guy who this is all new to. So it has nothing to do with age. It has to do with your heart and your relationship to the Lord. Then he says three things, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Listen carefully. The only source of grace, mercy, and peace in your marriage is from the Lord. I know there are people that would be honest and say, man, the last words I would use to describe our marriage is grace, peace, and mercy. It's a hell on earth. I've actually heard people say that. They don't use the words grace, mercy, and peace. They use the phrase, it's been a hell on earth. Some people would describe their childhood. Our childhood was nothing about grace. It was nothing about mercy. It was nothing about peace. It was about turmoil and resentment and hostility and anger. And the three things that Paul blesses and calls upon Timothy is what comes from the Lord. That's what you need and I need in my life. Grace, mercy, and peace that comes from the Lord. Now I want to talk about the blueprint for love because I think this is so important. The first thing that's part of love is having a pure heart. You know, anytime you talk about a pure heart, people want to link it to the sexual area, and it's involved in that. I'm not going to discount that at all. But I'm going to tell you about some impurities of the heart that you never think of as impurity. Did you know that bitterness is not just the cancer of the soul, but bitterness can be an impurity of the heart that keeps you from loving people? Do you ever think about that? That bitterness inhibits your capacity and your ability to love a family member? Resentment can be an impurity of the heart. Anger, hostility can be impurities of the heart. This may surprise you, but pride can be an impurity of the heart. There can be so much pride and self-focus in your life or my life that we don't have any room to love anybody else because we're so self-absorbed and it's all about us and how are we doing and what are people doing to minister to us and what is the system doing to take care of me? And there's no love in your life without a pure heart in terms of these things. I read of a college basketball coach who had a prima donna player, a guy that thought, I'm it, I'm the star of the show. And I thought he did a great job of talking to him, pulled him aside one day and said, look, basketball game is 40 minutes long. In theory, each team has the ball 20 minutes, if you just divide it in half. Five players on a team, that's 4 minutes a player. And the coach said this to the prima donna player, I know what you can do with the ball in 4 minutes. What I'd like to know is what can you do when you don't have the ball? And an author commenting on that story or that illustration said, what do you do when you don't have the ball in life? What do you do when you're not in control? What do you do with when you're not in charge? What do you do when someone else is in the limelight? What do you do when you're a supporting member but not the star of the show? And this coach had to teach team playing to this player because of his pride. And all these things, pride, bitterness, resentment, anger, hostility, become barriers that make us have an impure heart. Barriers that keep us from loving other people, and most of all, keep us from loving the Lord God Almighty. They inhibit your capacity to love.
Well, our website is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org.
We have to have a good conscience. Anytime you say that, people say, well, are you talking about being perfect and never making mistakes? Has nothing to do with that. Every sinner can have a clear conscience as a believer in Christ. And it may surprise you to hear this, but I'm going to tell you how. And a clear conscience will help you love your spouse. It will help you to love your family, maybe more than anything that I could mention today. This is taught by John Piper, who's a minister in Minnesota, I think Minneapolis. He said, you can actually speak to your conscience. I'd never heard anybody say that before. You can speak to your conscience. How do you do that? You can say, conscience, I know I've sinned. I know I messed up 5 years ago. I know I messed up 20 years ago, 15 years ago, whatever the case may be. But you see, conscience, my sin is under the blood of Christ. Did you know the Bible says this, the Lord remembers our sin no more? Does it mean the Lord's senile and he's got dementia and has a memory lapse? No, it means he chooses not to remember. Our sin is under the blood of Christ, so we can literally speak to our conscience and say, conscience, I hate my sin. I hate what I've done, but it's under the blood. You know, I told that in the first service and somebody said, you don't know what that meant to me today. They needed to speak to their conscience and say, conscience, be quiet. My sin is under the blood of Christ. Do I really believe that? You better believe I do. I really believe in the power of that. The third thing in the blueprint of love is the sincere faith. pure heart, good conscience, and a sincere faith. The word sincerity comes from the word that has to do with hypocrisy. It has to do with not wearing a mask. We come with a sincere faith, faith that's not hypocritical, that's not phony. You ever been around a person who makes great claims about being spiritual, and you have the sense, you know, it sounds good, but I'm not sure if that guy really believes that. I've been around people like that. We all have. It's not a judgmental thing. It's just something you discern in your spirit. I know she talks a good line, but I'm just not sure that that's for real. And people can say that about us. Let's be fair. Let's be honest about it. They can think that about us. And a sincere faith is a faith that's based in humility. A sincere faith is not the person who's taken with himself or taken with herself. It's a person who says, I'm a sinner saved by grace. Bottom line, I'm a sinner saved by the grace of God. Recently, I read a minister that I've met over the years from Southern California. And he was talking about going to hear a theologian speak with a minister friend of his, a good buddy of his, golfing buddy. And they went to hear this theologian who was world-renowned. He didn't mention his name. He just said world-renowned theologian. And he was giving a talk somewhere at a college or university. When they left, they were in the car going home, and the minister I know said, what'd you think about that? And he said, well, it was okay. And he said, what'd you think about it? And he said, well, I didn't get a word of it. I didn't understand. I've got a master's degree, and I've written a book. He said, I didn't understand what he was talking about. And the friend said something really interesting. He said, Gary, you don't have to worry about that. It doesn't matter that you don't understand. He's a theologian. What do you expect? Like somehow that's justified that we didn't understand. I couldn't disagree more. Jesus spoke in a way that a child could understand.
And I would add to that remark that Jesus spoke in a way that you can understand and I can understand. This message from 1 Timothy 1 called Blueprint for Love will continue tomorrow on CrossHope. You do know our website is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org.
Jesus spoke in a way that a child could understand. When Jesus taught with parables, when he told a certain man had two sons, a sixth grader could understand it, a fourth or third grader could understand, and one son spent all his money in sin, and the other son stayed at home, and there was the resentment of the older brother to the younger brother, and all those family dynamics come to play where even a child can say, I get that. I understand a little bit of that. Jesus spoke with clarity, and Jesus spoke with simplicity in such a way that people understood his message, and I say all of that just to say this. You don't have to be a theologian to know you're a sinner, and neither do I. You don't have to be a theologian to know you got problems, and so do I. You got issues, to use that term that's overused, and so do I. We all have issues. And you don't have to be a theologian to know that God loved you so much that he sent his son to die on a cross for you. It's called the gospel, the good news. You don't have to be a theologian to speak it or to understand it. You accept it. You receive it. That's why John 1 says, as many as received him, as many as believed in his name, God gave the right to people who did that with Christ, received him and believed in his name, to be called the children of God. Now I want to summarize this message, the blueprint of love. I want to touch on something I touched on earlier. Some of you grew up with some pretty horrible blueprints in your childhood. Just last week or the week before, I was on the phone with somebody from another state, and they were talking about the blueprint, so to speak, not using that term, but they said they were raised by a mother who taught them viciousness. I can't imagine saying that about my mother. My mom taught me viciousness. But you know what? Some of you can. You had a parent, a father, a mother who maybe taught you how to be vicious. How to get revenge, how to get even, because that's what you saw exampled, that's what you saw lived out in real life in your childhood. That was your blueprint. And what I'm saying today is, regardless of what blueprint you had to follow or were given to follow in your childhood, decide today, my children are going to follow this blueprint. Pure heart, a clear conscience, and a sincere faith. Decide. Decide that's going to be the blueprint of love for our family. So all during this series that will continue next Sunday at Crossview, looking at the blueprint for life from the life of the Apostle Paul as described in the book of 1 Timothy. And it's going to be some powerful things said out of a book I've never taught here before at Crossview Christian Church. No record of that I've ever talked from this book. But we are this week and this month and in the months ahead. May God use it in your life to teach you not only a blueprint for living, but a blueprint for love. What would happen in future generations if your generation, where you are right now, decided, I'm going to leave a legacy, a blueprint of love? That when my children are grown and they face their end years with their children and grandchildren, they'll be able to pass on a legacy called the blueprint, the drawing of love. Pure heart, clear conscience, and a sincere faith. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for speaking to us today. Bless this message this week and next week as we continue from the book of 1 Timothy. Speak to us right now about decisions that perhaps need to be made, prayer requests that need to be offered up, dedication of life that needs to be offered to you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, you can hear this message again on crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org.
You've been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information about this ministry or to re-listen to any message heard on this broadcast, go to our website at crosshope.org. Be sure to join us at this same time each weekday or listen at www.crosshope.org. Cross Hope is listener-supported and is produced by Cross Hope Ministries, Incorporated.